This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, let's get into the Minnesota Supreme Court and the ruling yesterday on reasonable possible to retreat with a weapon. This goes back to what happened June of 2021. Individual, Early Romero Blevins. Altercation with two individuals. Individuals you knew. Light rail right by U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank Stadium in particular. Words were exchanged, okay? Initially starts with Blevins and a woman. Then the other man had a knife. Talks to Blevins. And uses the words about coming to the platform and come up there close so he could slice Blevins' throat. So it's really, it's cordial dialogue at this point, you can see. Blevins, like all of us, Chris, has a machete on. Like, you've got your machete on you somewhere right now, don't you?
Oh, it's right here just in case I need to, you know, in case Carter comes back into the...
Yep.
I got to protect myself.
Takes it out of his waistband, moves towards the man and woman while holding the machete. Another man attempts to intervene. He's screaming and swinging the machete, causing them to retreat. So the opinion was 4-2, and it was written by Judge Margaret Chutich. She wrote that along with longstanding Minnesota law, which says a person needs to retreat when reasonably possible, even when facing bodily harm. The idea that you can stand your ground in escalating situations, as Blevins argued, and brandish his deadly weapon in an uncertain hope, as the judge is quoting the story in the writing, that will cause the initial aggressor to back down, that this view, according to the judge, is unsound. Okay. She adds that the court views this as a narrow extension of what is already established, the duty to retreat when possible. Now, this is an important clarification. It also strictly is limited to second degree assault, fear with dangerous weapons, and does not include cases with a dangerous weapon. Okay. Paul Thiessen. A longtime politician on the Supreme Court for a number of years had this to say. The new rule is not only unprecedented in this state. As far as I'm aware, the rule has never been adopted anywhere in the United States of America. Until now, the collective wisdom of judges nationwide over hundreds of years has been never to impose a duty to retreat before making threats to deter an aggressor. I'm with Paul Thiessen on this one, and I have been on a number of other rulings. Again, this is what Judge Thiessen has to say. The new ruling is not only unprecedented in this state, doesn't see it anywhere else in the U.S. Until now, the judge says, the collective wisdom of judges nationwide over hundreds of years has never been opposed to duty to retreat before making threats to deter an aggressor. The judge adds that Minnesota's self-defense statute asserts that reasonable force may be used against another to resist offense against that person. Thiessen's dissent argued that Blevins' conviction, because he was found guilty on this, should be reversed and a new trial should be held to determine if Blevins' threatening behavior was reasonable. So he was convicted. Blevins was. Two counts of felony second-degree assault with a deadly weapon in January, very early January 2022, sentenced to 39 months in prison, was released When? 1 year ago today. Department of Correction, by the way, lists him as a wanted fugitive right now and is due in Hennepin County Court next for giving a false name to an officer and loitering with an open bottle. Just a little more on this for the facts. I'm going to chime in, but I'm with Paul Thiessen on this. Rob Dorr, who's been on the show a number of times, Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus, said that the details of the case don't particularly matter compared to the impact of court rulings going forward. This is one of the scenarios where bad facts make bad law. And here's Dorr giving an example. Let's say you have a permit to carry and you have a firearm. Somebody pulls out the knife and you draw your firearm out of instinct to respond to the threat. Under the old rules, you're completely fine. Under the new rules, you have to first look for a means of retreat before even drawing the firearm out. That is just inconceivable from a mere human reaction standpoint. Rob and I don't always agree. There are plenty of issues we do. This one, I agree with them 100%. Again, we get that there can be more minor situations where people overreact and have the ability to retreat, de-escalate. We know that. We also know this isn't a movie. You're not playing a role. You are menaced in some confrontational way. And by the way, you may not be a sweet, innocent bystander also. And words are used at you about slitting your throat in short proximity, and you have something available to you. Now, would I rather there's something else outside of a machete that is swung wildly? Yeah, but what is it, by the way? Are we going to go through the checklist of what is allowed? Because if you're telling me I'm in this case, Chris, and I'm not saying I'm perfect and I'm flawless in this case, but now I'm in some area, and words in this confrontation are now going to slitting my throat. And my first move has to be, I have to run. I have to be aware with this person this close to me that I have to know everything around me. I have to be this flatline person where when my adrenaline is surging dramatically. And I got to know all the surroundings to flee versus I'm automatically over the law. I'm guilty of the law when I have some self-defense on me. And again, let's be honest. Most of us just don't have the machete in our waistband. I get that. But I'm using that to defend myself and I'm wrong? No.
That's asinine. If you're asking somebody who's going to be in a confrontation who is being threatened with physical violence or worse, and the first thing you have to do is sit there and, yeah, you may not have the time to sit through and think through everything analytically.
You can't go to the person and say, hey, I know you're threatening to slit my throat, mm-hmm. or I know you have a knife or whatever you have. Let me pause here for 30 seconds. Let me lower my pulse. I got to think this through. You stay right there because we're just friends. This is an abstract conversation. No, you might be about to die. And I get that there are other examples where people go way too far.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. People look for a reason to be upset. I feel like there are some people who look for a reason to justify their side of a confrontation. But when somebody is threatening you with physical violence, like to me, that's enough to me. If you say, I'm going to slit your throat, to me, I take that as a direct threat on my life,
100%.
And I have the right to react in self-defense.
It is, at that point. If you have something available to you, okay, if I'm in small proximity with someone, and it is escalate, and this person is an aggressor, and is threatening to slit my throat, and I have a gun on me,
mm-hmm.
I'm bringing the gun out. Am I automatically shooting that person right away? I'd love to sit here and say I know exactly what I can do.
But you don't know until you're in that situation.
Don't know. So, but if I have something available to me to defend myself, I'm going to use it.
Even if you just have a weapon of your own to counteract whoever that is showing that going to be enough, knowing that you might not even have to use it? If you show somebody your firearm and they back off, is that retreating then? If you show it and then you back off?
It's not. According to this interpretation, showing the weapon is not. No, you need to look to retreat first. What do you want to say? Because it is complicated. There are folks who can go way too far in this. But in this particular case, an individual who obviously is having criminal issues, has machete on him. This isn't a flawless human being. But if you're in that scenario, I think you should have the ability to defend yourself. I'm also going to give you an Olympic update right now. So I'm going to give you an Olympic update. You want to pause for 10 seconds and tune away. Suni Lee on the floor. They loved it. We don't have the score yet, but they absolutely loved it. She loved it. Coaches loved it. Teammates did. The crowd was reacting. She entered this portion in fourth place. We'll see how it comes out as Simone Biles, leading, is still waiting to perform on the floor where she has been spectacular throughout her career. On the reasonable duty to retreat, what is reasonable? What is rational? What is allowed? Let me know. What do you think? Call or text 651-461-9226.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
24 past one. We're going to talk about the U.S. Amateur coming back to Hazeltine. Just a couple weeks away, a couple good guests on that in about 10, 12 minutes. But what is reasonable? It gets into this whole stand your ground debate we've had for a long, long time in this country. How far do you have to go? And I think the majority in the Supreme Court in a 4-2 are asking someone to go further than they need to go in this particular case. We've witnessed this in other local cases, national cases, where the response has been excessive. But when you are in this sort of confrontation and someone is threatening to slit your throat, they're threatening to kill you. That's what they're threatening to do. And you have something available to you. Most of us don't have a machete, but your first move has to be, I have to get out of here before, if you have some weaponry available to you, you're going to show that as a way to attempt to show your power, as a way to de-escalate the situation. That's asking too much on the individual who is being confronted right now, to me. Let's go to the phone calls here. Lots of texts coming in. 651-461-9226. Laura, go ahead. You're on Newstalk A3O WCCO.
Hi, Chad. Love your show.
Thank you.
I think that 90% of the people in that situation won't have a weapon.
Correct. Yep.
And so the only option is to retreat. And so why is it so much different if you do have a weapon on you, be it a machete or a gun or another knife or whatever? Why is it so unreasonable to expect people with a weapon to not do the same thing that 90% of other people have to do?
Well, I think that's a very valid question. I think that was cited by some of the, not maybe directly, but indirectly, that was cited. I just believe in let's say I'm putting myself in this position. You can decide if you want to put yourself in that position. If I'm in a spot where I am confronted and these individuals are right in front of me And I don't have time to judge all the surroundings around me, right? It's not a video game. It's not I'm sitting here now at 126 and I'm theoretically understanding it. I believe if I have that available to me and I didn't use that initially and I'm now using it as a response, there is a line. I'm not saying the person is automatically not guilty of everything, okay? And I think Paul Thiessen is talking about that at a lower level. But using that as a response, if you have available to you, my gut still tells me I should be allowed to do it. I'm not denying that you try to make the law as clear, as concise, as black and white, so there isn't a gray area. And it's tough in these type of cases, but under this example, I believe Blevins, who doesn't have the greatest track record, was in the right.
And I'm gonna push back and just say that generally speaking, if I didn't hear the first part of it, but if the aggressor already has his knife out, and then Blevins reaches for his machete, or you reach for your gun, or whoever it is, then the chances are that people are going to end up injured because that knife that was out initially is already going to be striking. Whereas retreating, while it might not be the macho thing to do, let's say, it's probably the smartest thing to do in almost any given circumstance.
I think a lot of people agree with you, Laura. I appreciate the comments you made. It resonates with a lot of people. Call in again, and thanks for the kind words. Okay, another Olympic update. Just hold on for a second here. About a five-second update. We don't know the scores yet, but Simone Biles, just on the floor, was brilliant. Was absolutely brilliant. She is euphoric. Crowd's going crazy. Suni Lee hugging her. She entered number one. She's not slipping. She is not slipping. She will win the gold. They'll announce that in moments on the all around. Okay, back to this topic. Let's take another call and I'll get to a few texts. Lee, go ahead. You're on WCCO. Lee, are you there? All right, Lee's not there. We'll let Lee go. Let's get to a bunch of texts here. Let's see. Chad, in the heat of a personal attack, the law is the furthest thing from one's mind. It is. I get that, Chris. But the legislature and then the various courts have to review what is reasonable, even when it is, I think it's like a circuitous line. We're not going to have time to take a call, too, Chris. So we're just up against the clock here. And I think, and I've made this point a couple times now, I think there are times when the law in a confrontation like this has to allow for how unique this circumstance is. More text. If the untrained civilian is required to retreat, then perhaps the highly trained law enforcement officer should also be required to retreat. There is the debate. I am not surprised at all that text has come in. Remember, these officers have had a lot of training. There's no doubt. For some of these officers, they have a beat where they face scenarios, maybe not completely analogous like this, but they face them. And it isn't a rarity at all. But for others who haven't faced it, it still is a shocking experience. More text. Stand your ground, and self-defense claims are way, way overused by defendants. Example, Rittenhouse. Okay? Yeah? There are many examples, and I've tried to cite that, where people have been egregious in what they did. The weapon, when you think of a machete, does seem excessive and egregious. But to say, under this ruling, how far you have to go to retreat, it seems to me, they went too far. All right, one last Olympic update, because now we have the medals in the women's all around. And once again, Simone Biles wins the gold medal. Simone Biles wins the gold medal. And yes, Suni Lee gets the bronze. So a great day for America, a great day for this state. The greatest of all time, Simone Biles with the gold and Suni Lee with the bronze. U.S. amateur going to Hazeltine. If a major event in golf is coming to this state, the chances are very, very strong they're headed back to Hazeltine. Let's discuss that topic in moments on CCO. When you think about major golf in the state of Minnesota, one course most prominently comes to mind. It is Hazeltine. You can think about, first of all, when the Ryder Cup comes back in 2029, it'll be the first course in the history of the Ryder Cup in the United States to host two Ryder Cups. The U.S. Amateur is coming back. It was here in 2006. It's coming back now in 2024. You can think of the U.S. Open. Two of them won, one by Tony Jacklin, one by Payne Stewart. You think about the PGAs. So this is a course with a great history, and the U.S. Amateur is coming back to Hazeltine August 12th through the 18th, and two folks who are central a part of this are kind enough to join us. Phil Anderson is with us. He is the general manager of the club, and Carrie Hansen is with us, and Carrie is on the executive committee. Both are on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker hotline. Thanks to both of you. Appreciate that. Phil, first of all, congratulations on the event. Hazeltine is in a position where it's always going to be viewed as a site for professional events, amateur events. Why did the U.S. Amateur make sense for Hazeltine to bring it back?
Chad, thanks for having us. Appreciate it. We love talking golf and love talking USAM. Certainly from a club perspective, it's simple here. Our mission statement is a golf club rich in tradition, dedicated to hosting championship golf and delivering exceptional experiences, and that's exactly what the plan is here over the next couple weeks. The membership as a whole is just committed. They are all in on championship golf and really having a wide variety of events, whether it's junior events, women's events, men's events. Bringing the world's best players to Minnesota is really an integral part of what we do and what we're passionate about doing. So bringing the USGA back with their arguably most historic and oldest event, this will be the 124th playing of the USAM, makes a ton of sense for us, especially leading into 29 Ryder Cup. We've done a lot of forecasting, and as we look at kind of USAM participants, it gives us an opportunity where we believe three or four of these players will probably be on that Ryder Cup team. And this will be the who's who as we look back at 06. We had Billy Horschel, Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler. We had all of these guys were in the field. You didn't necessarily know who they were at the time, but you do for certainly a few years later. So the membership's excited. Hopefully the state of Minnesota is excited to come out and watch the world's best AMs.
Well, let me stay with that, and I'll get to Kerry next. Phil, when you look back at the 16 Ryder Cup, it was viewed so favorably. The numbers were huge. We had great weather, huge victory for the U.S. How much does the membership look at this, whether it's the course layout, how the players play it, the setup, and think ahead to what's 5 years away with the Ryder Cup coming back?
Yeah, absolutely. We certainly prepare a championship golf course that's ready to be played that way every day. So I think one of the beautiful things about this particular event is when you have 312 of the world's best AMs, we want to get the best champion. And as we look back over the history of the USGA, this has produced this event. Bobby Jones winning it five times, Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods three times, Mickelson, Victor Hovland, and most recently Nick Dunlap, who's won two tour events here in the last 12 months. So course setup for the USAM is really prepared to challenge these players to an extreme, which is a little bit different. So our rough is already at about 5 inches. Greens are rolling close to 14 on the stimp. It's going to produce the best golfer in the world going through that process. So getting the golf course prepared for that has been quite a feat, and I know our membership's anxious for us to cut that rough after the event. But we're excited to showcase and see some amazing shots out of some pretty difficult circumstances here.
Yeah, Kerry, I was asked a couple weeks ago to play. I said, I think I might slide over after the AM. I think it might fit me just a little better. Kerry Hansen is with us. She's on the executive committee. We're talking about Hazeltine. We're talking about the U.S. Amateur Championship, which is coming back to Hazeltine August 12th through the 18th. Okay. Kerry, let me ask how you appeal to the public for this event in a different way than some of the other big events. You know, you're gonna attract a lot of golfers. We know that for sure. But when you're trying to fine-tune what you're saying to the public for this event compared to some of the other major events which have taken place at Hazeltine, how is this one a little bit different?
Yeah, well, Chad, thanks so much for having us. And I'll tell you, I played last weekend, and you probably made the right decision trying to come out after. As Phil mentioned, the course is set up already with some pretty challenging aspects on the greens and with the rough. So that's a super great question. This is obviously a different championship from something like, the KPMG, which we hosted in 2019 right. and is coming back in 2026, or the Ryder Cup. It definitely has a more intimate feel where you have really the opportunity to walk up to the green, to the fairways, and watch the players and really kind of stand side by side with them as well. And in addition, you know, we're talking about some of the best amateurs in the world. And this championship is a little bit different, where it starts out with 2 days of stroke play and 312 players. And then match play starts on Wednesday, and the field continues to get smaller. It goes from, 64 to 32 to 16 down to 4-2, right? You have that championship match on Sunday where you get to watch the two battle it out over 36 holes. So it really is, it's a fun event to go and watch, where you can, like I said, stand side by side and view what are future players, like the future Tiger Woods mm-hmm. of the world. So we're very excited to host again.
Kerry, if folks are listening right now and they're thinking, and you made such a good point too, let's be honest, when the Ryder Cup comes back, this place will go golf crazy again. We'll probably have 40,000 people out there trying to watch a few groups. And it's worth it, because I love it. This is my addiction, so I'll be there. But it's hard to see. Also in this group, Kerry, if you're out there early in the qualifying, and we should mention, too, that Chaska Town Course, one of the best public courses in this state, is a part of the qualifying. And then all the match play goes back to Hazeltine. But if people can see it so close, so if people are thinking right now, hey, August 12th, that's 11 days away, right? What is the best way for them to pursue tickets, and what sort of options do they have in that area?
Absolutely. So if you go online, you can buy a digital ticket. You can buy single day tickets. You can also buy a week long pass, so you've got options to come out. Also, you can purchase on both. If you go to the Hazeltine website, there's a link that will take you to an easy way to purchase tickets there. And then also you can go to the USGA website as well to get tickets. One also really unique feature of this event is that, kids or young teenagers under the age of 17 and under can actually get in free with an adult as well. So we encourage not only, those people who get out and play golf all the time, or just the average spectator, or those who are just looking, kind of as a new golfer to come out, but also to bring kids, to bring your friends, your family, your neighbors. It's a really great way to experience golf if you haven't in the past, and to be able to see it live and in person.
Phil,
so again,
yeah, go ahead, Kerry.
We're looking. That's okay. Both at HazeltineNational.com and USGA.com as well.
Phil, one of the great things about golf is its enormous charitable component. I don't think the average person realizes, if we look at the PGA Tour and even look at the DP World Tour, how much money is a part of it. And I know you also have the Hazeltine Foundation. What do you want to say about that and its involvement and how it's a part of this event?
Yeah, Chad, it's a fundamental part of really this event this year. We are going to take all proceeds after a break even and donate that back to our community to five different golf foundations. And we're going to be doing that with the Loop Community Experience. The Loop is a golf course that's owned by Chaska, City of Chaska, so another partnership with them that's right outside the gates of Hazeltine. And we've got Joe Maurer and Larry Fitzgerald that are honorary chairs, so they'll be over there for the Community Experience days. And we are going to give all proceeds back to the community and grow with the game of golf. We just think it's such a wonderful game for families and kids and really to get out and experience the outdoors and have wonderful relationships and get exercise. The more golf we have in the community, we think the better. And the charitable aspect of it across this country is staggering. I mean, golf is a vehicle to great things in this world. The golfing world in the United States last year raised $4.2 billion through charitable events at different clubs and outings throughout the country. And that's more than really, you know, hockey, basketball, football combined from a charitable standpoint. So golf is an incredible, incredible vehicle, and we're doubling down on that as a club. Our membership's committed to, after break even, all proceeds will be donated to those organizations. And NBC will be down there Sunday. You know, Larry Fitzgerald learned to play the game, and really Tiger Woods attended a first tee clinic at Hiawatha Golf Course when he first became a pro. And there's a really awesome picture of Tiger showing Larry when he was a kid how to hold a golf club. So he showed up for that clinic, and we're going to kind of replicate that on Sunday over at the Loop. So we're looking forward to some great coverage of really just doing what's right for the community, getting kids out and participating in golf, getting them away from video games and having fun and getting outside. That's a big part of our mission of just growing the game in an inclusive manner. So exciting times, but if you continue to support this event and come out and watch, know that your proceeds are going to help benefit your own community here. So I think that's a wonderful message and something that we're extremely proud of as a club and as a membership to do what's right here in Minnesota.
Well, Kerry, I'll give you an opportunity to chime in on that too. I mean, when you hear that figure, $4.2 billion, and you think about how enormous these other sports are, and listen, everything has a flaw, everything has issues, but that type of charitable component, I'm guessing with Hazeltine's success, if there wasn't a charitable part of this, considering you're right, the women's event is coming back in 3 years, the Ryder Cup is coming back in 5 years, it's not like you need it. But if the charitable component wasn't a huge part of this, along with great golf, along with people and seeing the best players, if the charity wasn't a part of it at that level for the game overall and the money you're going to raise, I would guess that Hazeltine might pass on this opportunity and look to other events.
Yeah, you know, as you mentioned, with the city of Chaska and certainly Chaska Town Course, you know, we've been able to utilize the Loop at Chaska to really promote what are great organizations. So Bear Free Golf, Minnesota Youth on Course, PGA Reach, Minnesota First Tee, and the Minnesota Golf Foundation. And so it's really important to highlight those because they do support all lines of golf and have such a direct impact both on obviously youth and kids, but also adults, you know, with PGA Reach and veterans. So it's an important point, not only for Hazeltine, but also for the USGA as well. And we're extremely excited to have those participants at the Loop from Wednesday to Sunday.
Thanks to both you guys. I'm on the site right now. I just punched in Hazeltine National, and it's really easy. You can see right there in blue, you see the 124th U.S. Amateur. You click on it, you can purchase tickets right there. Again, the USAM coming back to Minnesota, qualifying rounds at Hazeltine and Chaska Town, and then the match play starts at Hazeltine. So it's August 12th through the 18th. Only the best, and then cut that rough down, and I'll come back out there again. Hey, thanks so much, you guys.
Thanks, Chad.
Yeah, it's really great. Listen, don't get me wrong. Ryder Cup's my favorite sporting event on the planet. But when you can see golfers at this level with this proximity, they're right next to you. It's really a great way to see it, and you see one of the best golf courses in our state, and the track record stands for itself. So again, Hazeltine, USAM, August 12th through the 18th. Go to HazeltineNational.com and get your tickets. It'll be fun. Your Lindis Construction time check is 1:56. Time to invest in GAF solar roofing and receive free installation labor. You can text this show at any point, 651-461-9226. You don't have to agree. There are plenty of people who are disagreeing and agreeing with me on the Supreme Court ruling on which facts I cited, which facts I didn't cite, others agreeing with me. It's part of the territory. Just some level of respect in the discourse is no problem at all. You can also podcast us, although our computer just crashed. So that's good. That's really good. We're pleased about that. So it might take us just a little bit longer to get the podcast up today. Hopefully that's going to happen soon. But you can find our podcast anywhere. You get your podcasts, Chad Hartman Show. You can also follow me on the Twitter machine at Chad Hartman Show. Tubbsy, what are you, CM Tubbs? Is that what you are on Twitter?
Yes, CM
Tubbs. CM Tubbs. All right, here comes CBS and Susie next on the station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.